Welcome back to Twice Upon a Time. This time, Roger and I watched season 5, episode 1, The Dark Swan.
I was just doing this because we're at season 5.
Oh, Roger just made a 5-hand signal and I thought he was telling us to stop.
Nope.
Okay, let's keep going.
I mean, I want season 5 to stop. Does
You
that
made
count?
sort of like a in front of you, sort of like a neck cut.
No, my neck cuts are very, very blatant.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that was fun. Here we go. Synopsis for season 5. In Storybrooke, the heroes seek a way to find Emma, who has traveled to another land as the Dark One. Regina tricks Zelina into using the apprentice's wand to call a cyclone, and they all travel in Granny's diner to the Enchanted Forest. In the Enchanted Forest, Emma arises from the Dark One vault. Emma seeks a Will of the Wisp, which will lead her to Merlin, but she encounters Merida, who also needs it. Rumpelstiltskin, the Dark One in Emma's head, prods her to embrace the darkness and kill Merida to take the Will of the Wisp. Emma decides to help her instead, but Merida fears Emma and escapes with the Wisp on her own. Wisp is really hard to say. Emma tracks her down, and just as she's about to crush Merida's heart, her family shows up. Hook encourages them not to use the dagger and give Emma a choice. She chooses not to embrace the darkness. Just as they're about to head into Camelot, Arthur and his knights arrive to welcome them. 6 weeks later, they all wake up in Granny's diner back in Storybrooke with no memories of the past 6 weeks. Shocker. Emma has embraced the darkness and become the Dark One. Roger, what do you think of this episode?
Right idea, wrong Jennifer. Conceptually, I actually do like what they're going for. Execution wise, nah, this ain't it.
Yeah.
And really, it's just the one character who's terrible, in my opinion. I actually think the rest of them, I think there's too many characters. Like, this is like an overload, but it's also the first episode, so you're setting a lot of things up. But unfortunately, just as I've said many times, you can't have a main character this bad.
Yeah, I agree that Emma was terrible as the Dark One, especially. I like that voice. I just, oh God.
Because I'm the Dark
I
One.
know. And like the costume, obviously not her fault. But the
I don't know how much say they have into their costumes, so maybe that was her call. It's like Christian Bale's Batman voice.
I liked the jacket. Well, she's wearing a pants dress jacket, which I like.
Sure.
And I like that it's crocodile scaly. Like I think that's kind of a cool
That's not the
tie. But
problem.
the hair and the weird makeup and like the nails,
And the her cadence and her movements don't fit.
that's weird.
It's not intimidating.
But I like wasn't bored. I like the whole episode. I'm kind of interested in what's gonna happen next. Yeah, I was okay. It was okay.
I wasn't bored, which I was concerned that this was going to be Frozen and like, oh good God, let's just be done. I now understand, like, when I rewatch this, I skip Frozen because it's so bad. I actually usually will watch this and I'll just bitch about it. Because really B plot through on is kind of like, oh, I wonder what they're doing here. I wonder what they're doing. They are asking a lot of interesting questions. There's a lot of ridiculous shit that's happening. Like, we may have hit the point where they've jumped the shark because like some of the stuff is nonsensical. But it's just that, like, you just got one part. 50% of this is just poorly done, even though I like the concept.
Yeah, there's also, as you know, a lot of characters and a lot of places in this episode. We have the flashback in The Land Without Magic, the flashback in Camelot, Storybrooke, the Enchanted Forest, and then sort of also Camelot, which is, I guess, in the Enchanted Forest or not. I mean, it's in the same realm, but it's not in a place in the Enchanted Forest that we're used to.
No, though it seems to, we've referenced Camelot before, so it seems to imply that it's
A
close-ish.
day's ride, maybe?
Maybe a day's ride. Because I think it's more than a day's ride, because doesn't Charming trick Snow by pretending that she's getting Excalibur and
Yeah.
then, but they're not, it's not actually that close.
No, I'm pretty sure
It's probably, I
he
mean,
says,
everything's a
I
day's
think that's
race.
one of the episodes in which he said it's a day's ride away.
No, he
But
said that, but
they
he's
also don't
lying.
actually go to
That's
Camelot,
what I mean.
so
I think he was
yeah.
lying about how close it was. Yeah.
But Arthur and his knights show up and then they take them to Camelot.
Was and Lancelot notably is not part of these knights.
Correct.
Who we have seen in season 2.
Yes. And we saw him in the flashback
We
of
did
Camelot.
see him in the flashback, yeah. Your turn.
Okay, let's start with the Land Without Magic flashback. of Emma. It's very short.
But not the Emma that we've known.
This is a younger Emma.
Why? Why did we have to do that? Couldn't we just use the same actress we've already used before?
I think they wanted her to be young. I do love that actress. She's like the young version of every famous person.
Yeah, but
she's
like...
She's in I, Tonya. She's like young.
Oh,
young
is she?
Tonya.
Ah!
She's in The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
She's in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Like, I feel like it would have been more compelling had it been the same Emma that we've pretty much seen for the past few... Because we saw her a lot in 4A and 4B, and I want to say even maybe like 3B we saw her at the end too, with the Minnie Mouse doll.
That was, yeah.
Right? Like, so we've seen that. Like, and like, I feel like it's more logical to go back in time and tell a teenager, don't do this thing, than like a little 9-year-old girl.
Yeah, I don't really understand the time here. The Sword and the Stone came out in 1963, so presumably they're like re-releasing this and they're taking the kids from the foster home to go see the re-release of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And some creepy dude comes and talks to kid Emma. And no one is watching Emma as she's walking into this theater.
Well, also, no one can else, I guess, see this person, because that's weird otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, middle, he looks like he's in his 20s or 30s talking to a 9-year-old girl that he doesn't know.
I mean, he is dressed as a movie theater usher, so it's not unreasonable for a staff member to, like, speak to someone.
You're right, but not sit down next to them and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's stranger danger. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if this person theoretically is magical, since she did the Batman disappear, why are they telling this to 9-year-old Emma, not, I don't know, any other... Maybe this is the only time she goes to a theater. Who knows? It's kind of silly to me.
Whoever this person is has just been waiting in this movie theater to tell Emma not to do a thing when she's older.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
This reminds me of the thing in 3A that I never liked, where they show the birth, and like we really never come back to it until like at the very end, and we just see like the birth again. I was like, but why? Why did we need to see this? Couldn't we have just seen this at the end?
I like the birth much better than this one. And then we get the Camelot flashback, which is not really different than, well, it is, I guess, in the end. I don't know who's the first dude that tried to pull it.
I don't know.
Because he wanted to be king.
My knowledge of the Knights of the Round Table exists with Arthur, Lancelot, Morgana, Guinevere.
Gawain?
Nope.
Galahad?
I've heard that name, yeah. Sure. But who?
I have extensive knowledge. I actually just finished a book about King Arthur.
Oh, good.
It's actually about...
Who are the Knights of the Round Table? If you say them, I might be able to remember what the name was.
I mean, I think I just said the ones that I can remember.
Oh, because they're supposed to be like 7, right?
I think 12. Let's see.
Voting must be a bitch.
Knights of the Round Table.
Compelling television. Compelling podcasting we're doing here. Anyway, one of the knights decides he is going to be king. And his response is that he gets turned to dust. Also, I think this is about the time that Avengers had come out. I'm wondering if this was like a play on the Thanos dusting everyone.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, this would have been pre-Avengers.
I don't think that's like, because it traditionally it's just that like you can't pull it out.
But
like
this
you die.
Yeah.
You die.
But he turned to dust.
Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of Knights of the Round Table.
Okay.
There's a lot of them.
Too many
to list.
But then
I'm still scrolling.
Arthur, who is fated to be king, right? I'm assuming that's part of the lore.
Yes.
Arthur's fated to be king, pulls out an incomplete sword.
A sword that looks very similar to something that we know.
Very clearly the other half of
the dagger.
Yeah. Which is an odd twist. I don't know that I care for that too much.
I was pretty into that.
Yeah.
Especially because we were told at the end of the last season that Merlin created the Dark One. So, like, now they're, like, I kind of understand what's happening here. And I kind of like the idea that Arthur is not the hero that we're used to seeing. Like, he just convinced all of his knights to lie to everyone about finding Excalibur. Which maybe is a good thing, because, like, he has this desire to, like, fix his broken kingdom.
So what's interesting is that it's presented as he's lying, he was the one chosen to pull the sword out
because he
should have
died. Yeah, he pulled it out.
So it's not a complete lie that he was the one.
But now he can, like, never use the sword.
I also don't know that I love the idea of, like, I guess we're doing Merlin versus Dark One as arch rivals.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, that just never was something I was... Like, if that were the case, I wish we'd introduced Merlin much sooner.
Agreed.
But yeah, and then of course we immediately then pivot to the present.
Yep. Do you want to start in Storybrooke or the Enchanted Forest?
I feel like we should just follow the scene, right? Because we go right to the end of 4B.
Yep. So they're trying to figure out. Emma disappeared, and they're trying to figure out where she went.
You know, I was watching that scene. I was like, boy, it's like somebody at Once Upon a Time was listening to my hopes and dreams. Like, they just made Emma disappear. Let's just continue the story. We're good. Like, I'm in. This storybook, I now want to watch. Emma's gone. I don't have to deal with her anymore. We can just go with the characters I like.
You know what else is really annoying? We get this scene between Blue and Belle where Belle is like, I'm worried about Rumpel and I like can't leave. And she's like, I'm not helpful. And Belle's like, you're resourceful. Like, you can help them. And she gives her the rose, which is kind of cool. Very cool nod to Beauty and the Beast.
You meant Belle says she's not resourceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Blue says that Belle is resourceful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... when they're trying to figure out where Emma is, Belle, who knows what happens when you resurrect a dark one, doesn't say anything.
As I have said many times, Belle is not interesting.
But, like, I don't even, that doesn't even have to be, like, character development. Like, why would they just not have her say something?
Because Belle doesn't matter. Like, I hate to say it, you very clearly can tell that without Rumpel in the picture, Belle has a zero purpose. They don't even make her the
reason. Well, now her entire purpose is to carry around this rose, which is Rumpel.
I mean, her entire purpose this entire series has been his conscience or caretaker.
Yeah, that's sad.
Like, the only thing you can say when I say she's boring is, well, she reads. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. But, like, they don't give her anything to do. That's why I actually said back in the day, Belle with an edge, where she actually is, like, kind of annoyed that she never gets her happy ending, or, like, a Belle who explores the world. Mm-hmm. Be interesting. Instead, we just have, like, Belle tagging along carrying this rose in case Rumpel dies. Which, like, if the petals fall off, can she, like, pivot back there?
Apparently we can just summon cyclones.
I mean, I actually buy that Xelena could go between realms. That doesn't shock me that much.
Although she couldn't until she received that apprentice's wand, which we've never seen or heard of before. I like how we planted the dark fairy wand, like, much earlier. But this is not, this is just a new thing that he had the whole time, apparently.
No, he said it was a gift.
From Merlin.
Yeah.
But he's had it the whole time.
Are we sure? I thought it was just now given to him.
I don't think.
I just assumed the gift was like, hey, we realize the situation's bad, so I'm just like giving you this thing now.
No, I think he had it the whole time.
It actually would explain how he's able to go between realms then.
That's true. But he can also draw doors. He doesn't need this wand.
I don't fucking know. Maybe he draws doors using the wand.
And this wand has special qualities. It must be wielded as it was forged, with both sides of the coin, light and dark. Which sounds like it is for Regina to wield, but she can't.
This is almost like a member Pinocchio. You can be a boy, but with conditions.
At least they're not asking an 8-year-old to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they are, because we bring baby Neil, Roland, and Henry on this adventure.
Who the fuck thought it was a good idea to bring all the children?
I don't know.
What are we doing here, folks? Yeah, one thing I think was a bit, while I was on the nose, it was kind of nice to see, was that Hook kind of, like, ironically mocks that Regina is now no longer capable of doing the thing
they
need. She's soft. Which is a thing that we have explored in the past, like in the Heroes and Villains. We talked about how, like, the Queens of Darkness were like, you've gone soft. The problem, though, is that has this Regina really done the things that we believe that the darkness is gone? Like, we're only a couple episodes removed from her removing Belle's heart. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, I think her sacrifice to become a savior in Heroes and Villains was great, but that wasn't even really the real Regina. That was, like, an alternate version of Regina.
Yeah, I don't... Well, and I don't know that I also, on the flip side, buy that Xelena is...
Nope. Well,
light and dark.
If it is good and she is the counterbalance, I'd buy that.
Sound like what the issue is. Like, I think the person has to be light and dark.
Then that definitely is not.
I know.
That's why I don't think it is that, because I just, like, we've never gotten anything that implies, unless we're saying the baby is the light, which does seem corny enough.
Or the baby is a blank page.
I don't fucking know. The rules of babies apparently shift fundamentally.
Rules of babies.
But yeah, so Xelena has to be the darkness, and then maybe it's darkness for a good reason? I don't know. It's not very clear.
I did love the look on Regina's face when the wand doesn't work. Like she like keeps kind of holding it. She's like kind of mumbling to herself, like, "What the fuck? Why is this working? Everyone is watching."
One thing I actually kind of enjoyed is that like Hook and Regina are kind of at their throats. Like they're kind of pissy with each other the whole episode, which is kind of how I like them. Like they really don't get along. So like she mocks him with the guyliner quip early, and then he's like, "Would you stop this? You're embarrassing yourself." Like they're just being dickheads to one another the entire episode,
Well,
which is
he's super desperate.
he's very aggressive in this
And
episode.
she's more measured. Like I think she also wants to save Emma, but her like she's more measured in her approach, and Hook is like, "Let's try anything immediately. Let's not think about it at all."
Yeah. Though, as we later see, once Regina gets desperate, then, though she at least had a plan.
Yeah, she had a plan the whole time.
Yeah. Though now what I'm trying to figure out is that was that the whole plan that she knew that Hook would break her out?
I don't know if she planned it that far.
Yeah.
I think I my assumption was
She pivoted.
when Zelina asked her for the wand, she thought about what that would take and then
Yeah.
did it.
All right.
Zelina was mostly okay in this episode. We got one. You have everything. You always get everything, which was very annoying. But she had some good zingers in this episode that I enjoyed.
In my so now that we've crossed the halfway part, and spoiler alert, it's going to be a struggle for the next two seasons. Like it's pretty bad. I just went to dislike and like. I'm not tracking everything anymore because there's too much bad. And one of the things I put literally was just whiny Zelina,
Yeah.
crazy Zelina. Great.
When she cuts off her hand, that look on her face, my God.
It was a nice callback to what Rumplehead
Yeah,
did, but
totally.
she has a smile on her face, like it's psychotic, which is exactly how I want Zelina to be. Just fucking out of her mind. Like that is when she's good. And then in this episode they decide to throw that away and be like, "But this baby will love me." And I'm like, "Oh my God." I really wanted Regina to be like, "Ugh, another woman defining her happiness by the love of her baby," is exactly what Regina should have said here. Because Zelina, you sound like a dumbass.
Or, 8-year-old Pinocchio, giving him like it's like, "Oh, baby, you will love me unconditionally, no matter how terrible I am."
I don't get the
It's
no.
putting too much pressure on a child.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous. Also, it's just not a good reason to have a baby.
I still can't believe that she like tries to like be get up in Robin's face.
Oh, I can believe that.
If it makes you feel any better, I didn't enjoy it.
I mean, I like how she's taunting him. Like, obviously, she's like, "Oh, did somebody just need an excuse to come visit me?" And then she very clearly says after, like, if it makes you feel any better, I didn't enjoy it, lying ass. I bet she enjoyed every moment of it because she knew how much it was going to hurt Regina.
Absolutely.
And second, she then cracks, like, "I don't see get what you see in him." So like clearly she's just saying that to mock Regina.
Yeah. Back to the hand cutting off. Something else I liked. When Zelina puts her hand back on magically immediately, the look on Hook's face of like, "We could have just done that." Like, "I can have this." But
Also, that must hurt that everybody else gets to put their hand back on except
I
him.
know, right?
Stupid. He could have kept his hand, though.
Although he's obsessed with that hook. I think at one point Emma says, like, you'll use any excuse to use that thing. Why would his thought for taking someone's heart that you have to like grasp with your hand be to use your hook to pull it out?
Because that's the only way he's ever been taught to do it.
I get, but like, how would that even
I don't
work?
know, but he's done it.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be questioning how one reaches into someone's chest and pulls out a heart.
This is the line of demarcation for you? Like, no, it's not that you're putting your hand in a chest. It's that wild hook. Like, technically, he knows how to do it. He did it with Aurora, so he knows how to do it with his hook, presumably safely. I don't know how. Makes no sense to me. But the magical thing.
But octopi can't drive
Oh,
cars.
God. Your ability to draw lines at strange places fascinates me.
After Zelina gets out, she goes immediately after Robin.
I like that he knew that was not Regina. What's fucked up, though, is the only reason he knows is that he knows how Zelina kisses.
Yeah.
That's the part that's awful. And then she dogs him for it pretty badly.
Well done. You really do love her, don't you? Funny, you couldn't tell when I was glamored as Marion, though.
Ouch.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's because he knows how Zelina kisses or he just immediately knew that it wasn't Regina.
Well, yes. because he's been kissing Zelina and he knows how Regina kisses, but he didn't know how Marion kisses.
Yeah.
It's actually true to all of those statements, which is the fucked up part.
And then they get Zelina to, they do the thing with the wand. Regina tricks her.
Yep.
Did like the flair. Zelina's always got some flair. The way she like cast that spell with the wand, very cool.
She, much like Rumpel, she seems comfortable with a wand.
Yeah.
Yeah, she seems very in her element.
And then they decide to travel in the cyclone in Granny's diner. I'm not really sure why.
Because we had to bring everyone. So, okay, stepping outside of the show, I get why they did this because it's easier to film at the diner. So instead of having to constantly film in the woods, you can just film it like a constant location. In show story, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. Why are you taking a whole building?
And like everybody, you're taking a baby, you're taking Roland, you're taking Henry, Leroy, and two dwarves that I can't even remember which ones they are coming. Happy and Doc?
Sure. All right. Not Sleepy, because Sleepy is driving, I think, later.
Yes, not Sleepy and not... I don't even know who the other dwarf was.
It's not Stealthy.
Nope, not Stealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, just, no. That wasn't it. Like, I don't like that. I don't need that.
But also the contractualness of this. Like, I feel like Leroy saying, how do you think it feels when everyone asks you how the adventure was and you have to say you weren't asked to go along? Like, oh, so Leroy needed to be in more episodes this season? Is that what's happening?
Which I actually think is, I think the argument should have been, we are the Queen's Guard.
Yeah.
And we should be going with you on the adventures is a fine point. I actually would have had no problem with that. I just don't think I need, like, at this point, you've taken all of the characters from Storybrooke that we basically are going to see. We could have just had them come to Storybrooke at this point.
Yeah.
Do we really need to go to Camelot if everyone's there, everyone's there. Like, that's just kind of dumb to me.
Okay, jump back to the Enchanted Forest for a bit.
Sure. Okay. We're talking about the Enchanted Forest of the present now.
Yes. What do we call... Is he Head Rumple? Is that what he is?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because he's not really there. It's not Rumpelstiltskin. It's just, like, the Dark One's in Emma's head.
I would refer to that as the Dark One.
The Dark One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love that we have an excuse to see Rumpelstiltskin as the Dark One here. I think that was great. That was very smart.
I think conceptually, the idea of all Dark Ones having a voice in their head is so good that I would have explored it with an episode where I would have redone the Rumpel and Balefire scene, but now I want to see the voice that was in Rumpel's head.
Mm-hmm.
And like, imagine a voice telling Rumpel, the boy is holding you back. He is going to be the thing. And Rumpel gives in for a second when he lets him go. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I made a huge mistake. That would have been much more compelling to see that voice in his head. Be like, oh, you are evil. Because we never seen this before. And I know why they had to do this. Because they can't just have Emma carry this.
Yeah.
They needed Robert Carlyle here. It's a cool idea. Like, I think it's a cool fantastic. Idea. Just wrong, Jennifer. I mean, you know, not to go completely off tangent. But, like, reimagine those scenes with the Charmix.
Yeah,
both of them. That shit would have been wild.
Both of them? That would be really cool.
And it'd be an interesting discussion. Just true love overcome true darkness? That could have been fine. Not true love over savior? I don't know. Rumpel doesn't sleep? Like, I kind of thought that, but that's nuts.
I actually really like that line. Dark ones don't need sleep. That's why I spun straw. You need a hobby. One that takes your mind off of all of the terrible things you're going to do. Have you tried knitting? I wonder what Emma's hobby will be.
Dyeing her hair.
Well, and that actually, I wish that was a detail. As you say, we have seen it before. Rumpel has trouble sleeping. Like, he spins straw. But I wish that we had explored this before.
Rumpel does sleep. He had a dream about killing Henry.
He does. He didn't say that Dark Ones can't sleep. He said that they don't need sleep. But I also think that exploring the idea of the more terrible things you do, the less you can sleep. Because I think, like, that dream is kind of an interesting indication. Like, when you sleep, do you only see the terrible things that you've done?
Or gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, great questions that they asked there. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we don't explore any of those answers, do we?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Rump. Robert Carlyle is amazing. He's like trying to convince her to kill Merida, and she says, "I'm not killing anyone." And he says, "Ah, you don't really mean that."
Yeah. I also think there was an interesting part at the beginning. Was the other? Are we saying that that bear he transformed into was a dark one at one point?
It wasn't a bear. It was a boar.
Warthog.
Yeah, I like how you're saying that as if a bear and a warthog are like the same animal.
No, I'm just saying that. The bigger point was that an animal was a dark one.
Yeah, apparently an animal that can breathe fire was a dark one.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of terrorizing. I mean, boars are scary.
And how do you rationalize with a boar?
How did that even happen?
I don't fucking know.
Like,
he ate the wrong dude when he was sleeping.
But the only way to kill the dark one is to stab him with the dagger. So, like, did the boar pick up the dagger and stab someone?
So the boar bit the dagger because it was hungry and got a piece of shard stuck in its teeth. And then it went to go bite and eat the dark one and ate the dark one by killing him through the chest with his teeth. Okay. That's my new headcanon.
Okay, I like it.
Cool.
What did he say its name was? It had a fun name.
It did have a fun name. I don't know.
Okay, we spent a lot of time with a new character here, Merida. We don't not like, but also don't know that I needed a whole new character here.
Like Merida, like the actress, thought she was
convincing. Thought she was good.
Too much though. Like don't need that right now.
I can't stop imagining. So we got that Emma decides to work with her and like help her instead of killing her. And then Rumple is like in her head and Emma's having like a conversation with him in the middle of the night. Can Merida only hear one side of the conversation? Or does Emma also speak as Rumple?
No, I think Emma has I think the point is that Emma is crazy.
So right.
Like Emma is talking and she's hearing, but no one else hears it. So all she's hearing is like the, yeah.
Yeah. So Merida's like, I gotta get out of here. I think Merida is a really interesting character actually. Cause she's not a bad person, but she also is like very practical. She's like, I need this, and like, you can't have it.
If there was a smaller party who had gone and then we added Merida to the group, I'm in. Like, I kind of like what they did with Aurora and Mulan, even though I don't really like Aurora. Uh-huh. I thought Mulan was perfect in like, you add her to the group, she has a side story, she's interesting, and she goes away. Same thing with Merida, that's fine. But when you've already brought like 13 characters to Camelot, this is just like character number 14 now.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of people.
And this is the woman from Brave. She was a girl in Brave.
Yes.
And have the events in Brave occurred?
Yes, I think so.
Because I thought at the end of Brave, she fixed her bear siblings and father.
Yes.
But in this, they're still cursed as bears.
No, they're not cursed as bears.
Oh, okay.
They're people.
They're people.
Yeah.
But her father has died now.
Her father's dead.
Gotcha. Oh, and they did not accept her as queen.
Yes.
Yeah,
and her brothers are still quite young.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like it's not even they're, like, promoting one of her brothers. They just,
don't
like,
accept her.
They don't accept her. They've taken her brothers.
Oh,
and the clans have united against her.
Oh, cool.
Which is interesting. I'm not really sure, well, historically, which obviously this is in the Enchanted Forest, so who knows? Apparently there's a Scotland in the Enchanted Forest.
Sure.
The clans were not unite, like, Scotland was not a thing for, like, a long time. Like, that's, like, the big, like, whole historical inaccuracy in Braveheart. It's like, oh, Scotland's not a thing. Like, that's not a thing.
Historical inaccuracies in Hollywood movies? No. Listen, when Titanic went down, it was a big love story going on. Not everyone's scrambling to get to the top.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
That would be my first thought. Wait, where's Kate Winslet? Let me shoot you, Leo.
Okay, well, everyone shows up just in time before Emma can kill Merida.
Yep. That was actually a really fun, menacing scene. I mean, Jennifer Morrison was still terrible in that scene, but the like circular shot that we kept getting and Rumple, killer, killer, killer. Like how he is tormenting Emma is actually fascinating to watch. And I think had we gotten Jennifer Goodwin instead, watching her struggle with her darkness, like I'm not going to do this would have been much more fun.
Well, and it's interesting too, the way that scene breaks down how the Dark One rationalizes, because she's like, it is wrong to kill Merida, but it's not wrong to get the Will of the Wisp so that I can find Merlin to get rid of the darkness to save everyone. Therefore, killing Merida is not wrong. Like, she convinces herself that it's not wrong.
Which is gold in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He's always able to rationalize what he does.
Well, and it was actually interesting, like, earlier when he's trying to convince her and she decides to go along with Merida, I actually, like, it seems feasible that she could have followed Merida. Merida could have used the wisp for what she needed, and then Emma could have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, and like everybody would have gotten what they want, and you don't have to kill anybody.
Except we find out that's not how it works.
Not how it works. And then Snow tries to use the dagger on Emma to stop her, and Hook tells them that Emma has to choose.
We disagreed with that during it, and I still disagree with that. Like, I think that's just silly. I know what they're going for, but they're like, it's got to be her choice. Nah, fuck all that nonsense. We're just going to make you at this point.
I understand what you're saying, but I also, like, if the point is for Emma not to turn dark, I think making her not be dark is not the way to do that.
If that were, like, long-term, we're trying to, like, have you deal with this, I hear you. This is literally just until we can get this shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care the long-term, because my goal is to get this power out of you. If it's Rumple, where we're trying to train you to be good, and you have to make these decisions, and you're right, you've got to make that call. We just need to contain this shit until we can find a way out of this, and then you're back to being Emma Swan.
That's fair.
So, I don't really care if you have to do it the hard way.
We also disagreed about who she gave the dagger to.
Oh, 100%.
I think Regina's the right person for the reason that Emma said. You're the only one who can see past your feelings and do what's necessary. Henry would not be able to do that.
I think it's a better tie with Henry saying that's too much power for one person than he's still given the power. I also think that Henry is more willing to do what's necessary. Like, he is willing to blow up magic or break out Zelina. I also think it's more compelling to see him have to deal with Regina ordering him to do one thing, and then it being like there's him caught in the middle is more fascinating to me. Like,
I think it's more compelling to watch two people that used to be enemies now put this trust in a person that she used to be her mortal enemy.
Just like their sappy connection.
What's wrong with that?
It's boring.
although I do think it made me think about another like rationalization that I could see the Dark One using that Emma didn't do here, which is, oh, the person that's actually most able to protect the dagger from people taking it to control the Dark One is the Dark One. Because that's their concern. Like, when Snow's trying to give it to her, she's like, oh, but like, I understand what you're saying, Emma, like, you don't want the power, but like, what if someone gets it and controls you? Like, that's a good point. And the Dark One is the most powerful. I mean, Regina is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The other
problem with the argument of Regina is that she's the easiest person to get that from. I'll just take Henry. You will give me that dagger if I'm going to kill Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it's already Henry anyway. So you might as well just give it to Henry. Because if I have Henry, you're not going to let him die.
I don't think Henry can protect the dagger from other people, though.
If he can summon the Dark One at will, I bet he can. Mm. That boy tricks everyone. I'm gonna be honest with you. If you ask me, give me one person to break a curse or stop Operation Mongoose or find a way to beat this big bad villain, I'm choosing Henry. He always is the one who can figure that shit out. I trust him more than I trust Regina.
I like how Hook goes to Henry for help. Like,
it's like season one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not quite the same as going to a 10-year-old for advice. He like actually wants, well, first he wants him to use the pen, which he doesn't have.
It's sad that moment got cheapened when I realized that they just had to do that to avoid that. We'll just undo what just was done, which sucks because I thought it should have been like a, you know, resist the power moment.
Yeah. And then Henry figures out how to get to, he knows how to get to Zelina.
Well, also Hook is kind of being a manipulative adult. He's like, well, you're willing to break some rules, which is Henry to a T.
Totally.
And then I'm not a kid anymore. And I'm like, yes, you are.
Totally a kid.
But, you know, whatever. It is funny how much older he's gotten.
It's true. Okay, so then all the heroes decide we're going to go. What's up?
We actually didn't talk about the jail scene.
We did not.
Which I think is a good segue here. A, they do remember everything that happened, because I wasn't 100% sure if they all had memories of what happened in Heroes and Villains, but they do, because he references Operation Wookiee. I actually like that.
Operation Wookiee.
Is that what it was?
The Wookiee prisoner gag.
Yeah, tomato, tomato. But yes. And then Henry's like, that's right, I got another plan. This is why I trust Henry. That kid has a plan on top of plans. He's got a contingency plan.
I also love Regina just uses Henry's birthday as a code for everything. You have a kid that like runs away and like steals teachers' credit cards and you don't create strong passwords.
He actually points it out. He's like, she's good. Like, you'd think after a bank statement or two, she would have changed that. I was like, how much have you been stealing,
Henry? What does he buy? Does he just buy comic books or like, does he buy other shit?
Whatever he wants. I mean, I don't really understand how money works in this town.
That's true.
So it's, who knows?
How do you apply for a credit card when you live in Starbrook?
It's Gold's credit. It's Gold's credit service. He owns it. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you on that one. But then, so you would point out, that's a ridiculously large soda. Well, there was a purpose for that ridiculously large soda.
That's true. He had to spill it on Nurse Ratched.
And we hear Nurse Ratched speak for the first
time. I know. I don't think we've ever heard her talk. She seems to know Henry well, which is weird.
That's not surprising.
Why?
You don't think Henry snuck down there before?
It's also weird that he's, like, looking for his mom down here.
He's not looking for his mom down here.
That's what he tells her.
Oh!
He says, is my mom here?
Like, Regina.
Yeah.
Well, Regina goes down here a lot.
I guess. Does she?
Yeah, probably to go torment Zelima. Or when she went down to check on Belle. I mean, if you thought someone was coming to look for the evil queen down here, you'd be like, yeah, this tracks. Like, I don't know where she's at. I'm trying to find her. I need a question real quick. And then he's like, throws that shit all over Ratched. And then, I don't know who the guy in the mop is.
I seriously don't know who the guy in the mop is.
I think he's an allusion to a character, but I don't know. But he clearly, he's not so far gone that he's not paying attention. Because he sees Hook. And Hook winks at him. And then, like,
yeah.
He uses his hook kind of slyly and does, like, a spin move. I thought this part of the plan was excellent. And then Hook... What were you thinking, bruh? Like, what do we... You thought you could just go in there against Zelina, who was trying to rip out Regina's heart and thought, hey, she probably won't have her heart protected here?
I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, it was, like, not a... Like, he was thinking ahead a little.
A little?
But not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Like, I think the problem with him is that he gets away with so much bullshit. Kind of like Charming. In that I think he just thinks all of his plans will just work. And doesn't consider that, like, oh, I didn't consider this factor. Like, yep. Like, this is kind of what Cora was telling you. Like, you're walking into the Dark One's domain. You can't just charge him head on.
Well, and he thinks all of his plans will work, and he just assumes that nobody else thought of it.
Yeah.
Like, because he probably could have, like, suggested that to Regina, and she would have been like, I don't think that'll work, and here's why.
Yeah. Or if she has a protection spell, what's your other
plan? Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, that obviously...
He didn't even bring backup. Henry wasn't even in the room, for God's sakes.
He didn't even bring magical backup to deal with the Wicked Witch.
Apparently the mop guy is a character from, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
Which I have not seen.
No. Great book. Mediocre movie.
Okay. Okay. Done with that scene?
Obviously that leads to our cutting the hand off scene.
Cutting the hand off scene, which we already talked about.
Fucking wild.
Wild.
And then she escapes and Hook's dumbass is like, well, now I gotta go face the music.
At least he does.
I mean, I really don't know how you could avoid that.
I mean, I feel like old Hook would not have told anyone.
But he knows Henry. I don't know, actually. Well, like, Hook in 3A says that Neil is back.
Yep.
Maybe villainous Hook wouldn't.
But he'll... I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But he doesn't really lie to Cora. He tells her, like, oh, yeah, they got away from him. So maybe he just would tell the truth and then play both sides because he's always doing that.
Okay, so back to Enchanted Forest.
Yep.
They are going to go find Merlin, but before they can, Arthur and his knights show up to take them to Camelot. Okay.
I do not like the way Arthur looks.
He's very handsome.
Obviously not what I'm referencing.
He doesn't look like anything like I've ever imagined Arthur to look like.
He does not. So, like, this is a bias, but, like, we talk about often, like, leaders, right? They're usually tall. They're usually powerful looking. Arthur does not look that to me.
Well, Arthur as a boy was very small.
Sure.
Like, that was, like, he was a small, like, no
the
one
boy that will be king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Arthur is traditionally blonde.
Yep.
One. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, I mean, he's a legendary character. He doesn't have to be blonde.
Sure.
But,
In a show in which is obsessed with dark-haired men already, do I need more dark-haired men? No.
I do like the actor, but...
The actor isn't my problem. It's just he...
Yeah.
He looks like a bitch to me. That's my real problem.
Wow.
Like, look at Lancelot. Lancelot looks like someone I would expect to be a knight to the round table. He's black. I don't think he's traditionally black, but he looks big and powerful. He looks like a fucking knight.
Nobody is traditionally black. Nobody in our three legends is traditionally black.
But they still capture, like, the essence of what I expect a knight of the round table to look like. Arthur looks weak and tiny.
Interesting. I did not perceive that, but I always... I mean, I'm small, so I think that everyone's
large enough. But, like, and this is a complaint I've had much very often in this show is that I think the men are relatively too small for the roles they're supposed to. Hook is great because he's a survivor. Charming is actually appropriately sized. Everybody else looks like a weak little pansy most of the time.
What about Robin?
Robin's built. He's actually, but that's logical. He's an outlaw. He lives in the forest. Obviously, he gets a great workout. Henry Sr.'s small and weak. The genie's small and weak. No, Malcolm is small and weak, but he's a sniveling little boy. That's great.
He's small.
Yeah, but he's...
He's like a, tall, though.
But he's also like a scrappy pirate. Like, he's not supposed to be... Now, Blackbeard is too small, in my opinion. Blackbeard's supposed to be, like, ruthless and intimidating. Will, he's scrappy-do. Like, Little John is appropriately sized. Little John looks like a grown-ass man. Most of the males on this show are fucking tiny. Like, Henry looks like when he's old enough, he's going to slap them around at will.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know that I...
Rumpel's small, but he's supposed to be cowardly and weak.
That's I feel like fair. You just described most of the main cast as not fitting the description that you just gave me.
Most of the main cast is relatively small. Like, there's one person who isn't tiny, and that's Charming.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Robin?
I don't really count him as main cast. He's like a recurring guest, but okay, two.
Okay, there's not that many men in the cast, Roger.
I mean, there's Rumpel, there's Hook. I mean, I'm naming general just main cast, like Arthur, all the like male villains that we've had. Like Greg actually was decently sized, but like all of them are just tiny looking.
It's tiny.
I don't recall Greg being that tiny. Coyote? No, I don't think Coyote's tiny.
I mean, he's not like short, but he's a thin person.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so add him. Yeah.
Okay, and then we get our time jump.
Merlin, also tiny.
6 weeks later.
Why is it always 6 weeks, by the way?
I don't know. It's a nice amount of time to feel like a long time, but not so long. I don't know.
This, I think, was the worst part of the episode that didn't involve Emma. I mean, this involved Emma, but, like, getting rid of that. This was such a stupid... Like, why did we need to do this?
And they even recognize that it's stupid. Our memories, they're gone.
Again?
Says Charming. Again? Says Snow. I did love that Sneezy was wearing Emma's jacket in the scene. It's just, like, amazing. Yeah. They're like, this is what we do when no one's here.
Yeah.
And there's no problems. When no one's here, there's no problems.
Well, actually, the dwarves talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
We get Emma as the Dark One.
All right, Chelsea. I told you, this every episode of this season is going to be one for
I have no defense of this. It's bad.
Yo, girl.
I don't know why you think she's my girl.
Because you relate to her, you like her, you think she's human, and before we...
That doesn't mean that she's my girl. She's not my favorite character or anything.
And before we did this podcast, you were very explicit in how you believed you can't do this show without her. So that's why I put her in the your girl category.
Yeah, I mean, she was terrible. It was terrible. I don't really understand what's going on.
Mm-mm.
Like, I why did this happen? Why did we do 6 weeks? Like, what's going on here? It's a lot. It's not good.
I think you told me there was an interview or something that they did where people were kind of criticizing Once Upon a Time for all the curses they did. And they were like, well, it's a fairy tale show. Like, what did you expect? And I was like, I actually don't mind a bunch of curses. I mind all the curses being fundamentally the same.
And the memory loss. Why always memory loss?
Every time, but like one. So like if one of the curses was the dark curse, fine. If one of the curses was shattered sight, fine. If one of the curses is heroes and villains, fine. Because those are all fundamentally different things that gives us an interesting perspective. This is just curse, memory loss. We don't know what happened back in time. This is 3B.
This is why they do it, and it's not great.
For the flashbacks.
It's for the flashbacks, because they're used to building a show about flashbacks. And, like, we run into this with every show that has flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Lost has flashbacks. Mm-hmm. At one point, they have to introduce flash forwards and flash sideways.
Arrow has this problem, too.
Arrow also has this problem. And I remember that when I was watching Arrow, I was like, but we're almost at the present, and what are you going to do now? So they have to, like, create artificial mystery because they can't write... Like, they could change the format of the show slightly and introduce mystery in different ways.
So one of the things I liked about Neverland is that we don't get... It's not a heavy flashback season. There's some flashbacks, but not every episode feels like it needs a huge flashback because we have two separate stories going. You have a little bit of story in Storybrooke, and we have the story in Neverland. Can't we just have a story in Camelot and a story in Storybrooke? Just do two stories. And then we don't need to do this stupid 6-year jump. Like, just do story A, story B.
That's 6-year jump?
6 year, 6 month, 6 week, I don't fucking care. Like, yeah. Because, like, the problem is that, like, is it interesting to watch them deal with memory loss for the third time now?
I don't think so.
We've been here and we've done this.
It's like they can't. Because the heroes always win.
Which is a mistake.
The only way that they can create an obstacle for the heroes is if they don't remember
how they won.
How they won.
Yeah.
Or what? Who the villain is, or whatever.
That's just a fundamental flaw of the show. The heroes can't always win immediately. And they always win. Yeah. By the end of the season, it is always wrapped up every single time. I guess the only one that they don't win is going home.
Yeah.
Because technically, Pan doesn't win, but he does fuck over the heroes. Uh-huh. That's like the closest that they get to a loss.
Agreed.
And this is just, it feels like they obviously got back, but they failed at getting the darkness out of her. Yeah, she's... This is terrible.
It was so bad.
This is...
Not even all of it was her fault. Like, as we talked about, the costuming is terrible.
See, I think if Snow were doing this, I wouldn't be complaining.
I don't know. If they made Snow's hair, like, bleach white, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that it would look all that good, but I think I would be so terrified by menacing Snow that I... Because, like, if this is the Snow from Heroes and Villains, I'd be like, yo, that woman's psycho. I would be more compelled by the work on screen that maybe the bad hairdo... Because I actually thought Snow's hair kind of looks stupid, actually, in Heroes and Villains. It kind of looks like a bird. But, like, didn't care because she's out there, like, taunting people, and it was funny.
It's true. Yeah, Emma is certainly not going for funny, Dark One.
Well, but neither was Snow.
No.
She's just sadistic.
Yeah.
And I thought that's funny. Yeah, and because I'm the Dark One. Why are you here? Because I'm a mother.
Yeah.
You know... One of the notes that I made way back, I want to say it's season 2 or season 3, was, can we just stop trying to make Emma menacing? And that was seasons ago. And I'm like, oh, shit. They still haven't learned from that mistake.
She's just staring at Rumble at the funeral. She's just doing it from the side.
What? Was that like a, can we start tracking how many times I get you to count, admit that angry pouty face is a thing? Because it was definitely
a thing. It was definitely a thing here.
It was, yeah, the zoom in on her face never works, in my opinion. I don't know why they keep going to that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Let me just make sure real quick, because I did liked and dislike. I don't like the team group up. That was one thing I wanted to talk about.
Team group up.
So I generally don't care for let's bring a bunch of characters to go do a thing, because I think it's more interesting to split the party in half.
Mm-hmm.
So like a smaller group to go find them. Like if this was the Charmings, the Hook and the Dwarves, I'm in, right? Because it's a smaller party and they're going, and then Regina and Zelina can be doing their own thing with Robin back in Storybrooke. Or Regina and Zelina could be the ones to going. Like it's just the two of them that can go and they're there to save Emma. Okay, I'm in that. Everybody being here just seems like ridiculous, especially when you're talking about Roland and Neil and Henry are here. Like, what the fuck are we even doing?
I need this show to be made like 5 years later on a different network. And I think it would have been a lot different. I mean, obviously we would never get it on a different network because it's Disney, but an adult TV show. I mean, I guess we have Disney Plus adult TV shows now.
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of shows now where they will bring in a character that is not meant to be part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And people are totally willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right that we could have gotten a lot more, like, we don't need to see all of the cast all of the time.
Mm-hmm. I also think, to your point, the show doesn't have the balls to really kill anybody critical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Neo, you could get away with killing as stupid as that was because he was, like, recurring main cast.
And he also wasn't there from the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one from the beginning do I ever buy they have the guts to kill. They're not going to kill Emma. They're not going to kill Snow. They're not going to kill Charming. They're not going to kill Henry. They're not going to kill Regina. They're not really going to kill Rumple. Like, the stakes are...
Yeah, we literally already watched him die, and then he didn't really die.
Came right back. And not like... At least if he had died and been gone for a length of time, then I'd be like, well, there was, like, some consequences. We got, like, one episode.
Yeah.
So I just, and then on top of that, the heroes always win. Like, this is like, I've made this criticism at Game of Thrones. Like, it's a good magic act because they make you at least think they're killing main characters. Once you suss out the real main characters, ain't none of them dying.
Yeah. Well, and the, I'm not like, I don't, I understand that like heroes always win, like that's kind of like the point, like hope, whatever,
in the
but
end, sure,
but yeah, like you're totally right, like we don't even sacrifice someone to win, like that doesn't happen, or if it does happen they come back immediately.
Or Charming dies and Snow comes up with an insane plan in 30 seconds and they get him back.
Yeah,
like we, Charming wasn't even missing, like Charming missing during 3v. And then Snow's like, oh, shit, I killed him.
Uh-huh.
And they don't know where the fuck Charming is. And then we find him eventually. Would have been fine. Because it would have been real, like, terror that he's dead.
Yeah. All right. Favorite moment. I actually have four.
Good, go.
I know you said you didn't like this, but I like that the dagger is part of Excalibur. I thought that was cool. Excalibur is a storied weapon. And it's broken, which is kind of an interesting thing for Arthur to be dealing with.
And I think visually it's cool.
Yeah, that scene, like the way that they clipped it too, like it cut directly to the sword or the knife on the ground.
Yeah.
Thought that was cool.
I just don't like what it means.
Sure.
Yeah.
Rumpelstiltskin as the Dark One. Just happy to be watching Rumpelstiltskin as the Dark One. It's on flashback. It's something different. They like are exploring Rumpel's character in a different way. Well, I mean, it's not really his character because it's not like him, yeah. But
it also is a flashback, right?
I guess technically,
yeah.
We already talked about the Dark Ones don't sleep thing, but I think that's a very interesting concept. I like thought that quote was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last one was, it's not like she rode off on a unicorn; she got sucked up by a vortex of evil.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I didn't have any moments that I really jumped out where it's like, these are great. I do have some lines that we didn't talk about that I thought were probably my favorite. Put that down before you hurt yourself, Guyliner. Funny as shit. Because it does look like he wears eyeliner.
Yeah.
He just obviously has very thick eyelashes, but that's funny as shit. He
might be wearing eyeliner.
You think?
Yeah.
Because like, there's a football player who has the same effect. I mean, maybe he's wearing.
There's also that other actor. He's in Lost, and they like make a joke about it, and it's completely natural.
It's just an eyelash thing, yeah. So it's possible. Hook, when Regina's like, "You let her go," and he's like, "Technically, I let her escape." I mentioned earlier that they were kind of bitching each other the whole time. So it's kind of funny how he's still making a little bit of like, "Well, I kind of just fucked up. It wasn't like I intended to do that." And then probably my favorite line of the episode is Dark One talking to Emma. I like her spunk. Break her neck.
That's a good one.
Because it's very like, huh, I like her. All right, let's kill her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Most ridiculous moment. I have three that are kind of one.
Oh, my three are all separate.
Okay.
This shit isn't Jennifer Morrison.
All of them are Jennifer Morrison.
Okay.
Emma, why are you doing this? Because I am the Dark One. So bad.
When we go to end of the year, end of the season, worst lines, that's on there.
Yep. Emma's voice, just in general. Like, why when she's the Dark One, and not necessarily like Dark One 6 weeks later with the getup where she's like maybe acting as the Dark One. Mm-hmm. Like when she rises in the Enchanted Forest, why is her voice deeper and like maybe has a slight British accent? I don't get it.
It's like Kevin Costner as Robin Hood.
It's not that bad, but yes.
The British accent isn't as bad. The overall acting might be.
Yeah. And then just her whole costume and personality. It's bad. It's really bad.
So that's how I feel about Emma all the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Dark Swan outfit, definitely one of mine. Like, that was terrible. Especially the bleached white hair. Like, what the fuck are we going for with that? The other two don't really have anything to do with Emma.
Shocker.
Granny's tornado is what I refer to that as. No, that's not how tornadoes work. I get that it's a magical tornado and in the middle of Storybrooke. Come on. Like ripping up just Granny's diner and then landing it in Camelot.
No. Most ridiculous part. Landing it in Camelot. Well, then they come back 6 weeks later and it just lands on the foundation.
Yep.
And we don't have to fix anything.
No damage. It gently puts it right back exactly where it was. That's how houses...
And it's not attached to the foundation anymore, and that's okay.
But it's reattached to the foundation.
I see.
Yeah, because it had a different foundation. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's dumb. And then most importantly, another memory loss curse.
That's a good one.
Guys, the horse is dead. You were just beating it at this point. Like, Curses are fine. I got no problem with curses. I'd like every curse, ideally, to have a little bit of a twist for every villain who does it. That way they kind of have their own, like, signature. This is not creative.
No.
Yeah.
Who's your loser?
I got two.
I have one.
Yours is...
Emma.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. She was terrible, like that. Jennifer Morrison was terrible. It's terrible. But they all seemed so confident about her not killing Merida, and they're going to find Merlin, and they're going to fix it. And then 6 weeks later, apparently it didn't work. Maybe actually it's not really fair to say it's just Emma, because everyone was trying to make sure that Emma didn't become the Dark One, and they all failed. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. All 96 people that traveled in Granny's Diner failed.
I don't know that I can argue against that. You're right. I just feel like Emma had to suffer the consequences of their failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to write 96 people's names, yeah. So it's just Emma, but no, that
you,
I mean
you could have put everyone. So, you know how Cruella's happy ending is just getting to murder again?
Uh-huh.
My happy ending is just listening to you complain about Emma Swan. Like, if I could get an entire podcast of you just criticizing Emma and Jennifer Morrison... Right here. This, my heart would just be, my heart would look like Henry's as the heart. It'd just be covered in gold and happiness.
Hmm.
Obviously, my loser is Emma for all the reasons you just described. I don't think I need to go further in depth for that. She's terrible. This is not going to be good. Hook is my other loser. Now, I give him a win at the end for stopping Emma from killing Merida. But boy, he got hustled by Zelina pretty badly.
He did. That's a good one.
And then I think so Rumble had made a great line that I've talked about when it says, like, when someone is consumed with vengeance, they're easy to manipulate. I think the same is true when they're consumed with desperation. And mm-hmm. I think Hook is desperate souls. Exactly. Basically he makes a tactical move, which Hook is not dumb and he's actually pretty good tactically. Usually he's just so desperate that he doesn't even consider that this could backfire.
I mean, he asked a 10-year-old for help.
Well,
maybe he's 14, but...
In fairness, he's a dark-haired, stubbly man, so that actually is the rule of the show.
What does it mean that Arthur is a new dark-haired, stubbly man?
He's the next Emma man.
Okay, yeah. I see.
Or Regina man, I guess. Actually, Robin isn't dark-haired, though, is he?
No, he's got, like, medium brown hair, I would
say. His Rumpel's hair color seems yeah. to me. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's the next contestant on Emma's Bachelorette.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I think Hook was suckered. And that's not usually something you said.
Yeah. Winner?
I got two.
I have one. I had a hard time choosing someone, actually.
This was pretty easy for me.
I chose Regina.
That's one of my choices.
Because she tricked Zelina.
Yeah.
She got her to cast that spell, and then she used it for her own purposes and got her trapped again. And gets to tie her up in a chair, which seems highly satisfying for Regina.
Kinky.
Yeah, that's weird. and also, Robin loves her so much that he knew immediately that Zelina was pretending to be her.
That's a big deal.
And, I mean, she couldn't cast the spell herself, but she, like, kind of figured out. And I guess if the reasoning that Hook is giving is true, that it's because she's a hero now, that's also kind of a win for her, I guess.
A win, just an unfortunate timing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she also has the dagger now, which I don't know if that's a win necessarily, but...
That's a lot of responsibility.
Emma trusts her, I guess.
Sure.
And she looked damn good in that Camelot dress, also that. We only see it for a second in the 6 weeks forward. Flash forward. Or yeah. Whatever. Now. I don't know.
I don't know what you want to call that. I don't actually know. Is that the current timeline now?
I guess. Yeah, that's now.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with any of those points. I think Regina was my second place. The winner of this episode for me was not just because of what happened, because in the end, I don't know if it's a huge win. Performance-wise, though, Zelina takes the cake.
Oh!
Yeah.
I mean, she gets stuck.
She does get stuck, but she gets out. I also think it's a...
But then she gets stuck again.
She does get stuck again. It's... Well, kind of. She gets taken to Camelot, so she's not stuck. She also, one of the more baller moves to cut your own fucking hand off to get the maggots.
Totally.
Like, you got my respect. Because I saw Rumple do it. And Rumple looked like he did not want to do that. And Xena looked like she wanted to do it. She had an insane look on her face. I also think that, like, she was just fun to watch. Like, other than whiny Zelina, which was one of my dislikes, she was just all over the place taunting them. Like, it seemed almost Cruella-like in how she was just reveling in their misery. Like, she's making fun of Robin. And then, yeah, okay, you love Regina so much you couldn't tell. And then points out that, like, but why didn't you love Marion so much? And you could see Robin's like, fuck you. But it's also true. I enjoyed her in this episode. Ultimately, she does not get what she wants, which is pretty much the story of Zelina's life. But she tricked Hook pretty fucking well.
She did.
So, I'm going to give her the win on this one.
All right.
It's weird to enjoy her.
So, next week, we're going to watch The Price. Don't remember what that's about.
Is The Price right?
I don't know. But I will say that I am looking forward to what does it mean that the dagger is Excalibur? And what have the Knights of the Round Table been waiting for? Like, they've been waiting for them? Like, why? What is that?
No, they said it's because it was prophesied.
Right. Prophesied side.
I think it's prophesied.
No, I think it's prophesied.
That sounds like a form of murder.
Patricide.
Yeah.
Nepicide.
Yeah.
Regicide. Well, why was it prophesied? Like, what does it mean? Like, what do they want them to do? Where's Merlin? All questions that I have.
To say that you will believe something will happen in the future, prophesize. Prophesied.
Which one is it?
I think it's prophesied.
Aha.
I think you're right.
One more time?
I said I think you're right. heavy emphasis. The think is doing a lot of work here. Mm. No one likes someone who gloats when they win, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not claiming I don't do that. I'm just saying no one likes
it. Who's good at words here?
That's just rude.
I didn't say you were bad at words.
You implied it. You did imply who's good at words here, implying that I am not good with words. And you are correct. But you can't say you didn't say that.
That's true. What are you looking forward to, Roger?
All things that do not involve Emma Swan. Honestly, I like a lot of the questions they're asking. I think even the things that involve Emma that don't require me to deal with Jennifer Morrison, like the voice, like the Dark One, that's fascinating to watch that play out on screen. I'm curious as to, like you said, the Excalibur and I don't know what the Dark One dagger is called, so I'm just going to call it the dagger.
Yeah, Cora calls it the Chris Knife.
The Chris Knife. It's a cool name. Yeah, so that's interesting. I'm not interested really in the curse because that's stupid to me and I just wish that wasn't a thing. I'm kind of curious about, even though I think we have too many characters, what's Merida going to do about her situation? Mm-hmm. That's fascinating to me. I'm very curious about, like, Zelina. Like, is she good? She's at least expressed a goal that makes more sense to me. She just wants to go home to Oz.
Well, and it seems like she also was tricked by the Dark One because she was in Granny Steiner when they came back and she's standing behind Regina.
Oh, shit. She's there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. I mean, maybe she's still wearing the cuffs, so she's also powerless. Like, I don't know.
But, yeah.
I'm
very curious about, like, okay, I don't buy that, like, Rumple's just going to stay in a coma the whole time. So, like, what the fuck happens when he wakes up? What does that even mean?
And what happens to the baby and Roland, who have been brought to Camelot?
Yeah. That baby, by the way. So, like, if you've ever been on an airplane with a baby, they don't love loud noises when they travel. And I feel like, I've never been in the middle of a tornado, but I feel like a tornado is pretty loud and a hectic way to travel.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, and that baby does not seem bothered by that. So, yeah, there's that. I mean, you know, I have to come back to this. Right idea, wrong Jennifer. If somebody else were the Dark One, I think this season could be very, very interesting. I don't know as much about the Knights of the Round Table as you do. So, like, I don't like Arthur. I just don't like the way he looks. So I'm very curious to see, is this a true twist on the traditional? Because the traditional Arthur is good, right?
Yeah.
You said that with some qualification.
I mean, it depends on which story you're reading and who wrote it.
Like, the base character.
Yeah, I would say he's, like, he has a goal to unite the kingdoms of Britain and be a good king.
Yeah, okay. So, like, he's not traditionally a villain.
Yeah.
No. And in this one, it seems like he's at least duplicitous. So maybe he is a villain. That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's not. The only thing I don't want him to be smarmy. So one of the things that they reuse tropes a lot, like, the author was a good smarmy villain. I don't need another smarmy villain. Like, I kind of want more. Like, I'd actually like a badass villain for once and not just, like, illogically badass. Like, he should be a good tactician, right? Like, he's a pretty good king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, a good leader. I don't. Just give me something different. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, it's.
Okay. That was a lot more things I was, than I was thinking you would be looking forward to.
My problem with this season is singular. Like, it really is. Dark Swan is fucking terrible. And it's going to get worse, apparently.
Well, please be sure to join us next time when we watch season 5, episode 2, The Price.
We'll see you next time.